Well, it's been a crazy week for many of you, with all the holidays and all of the family and all of the stuff and then the rain. But I'm so glad that some of you made it out this morning. I want to share for a little while this morning, continuing the series we started on Genesis, which I've called Back to the Start. Going back to look at some of the themes that are there in the book of Genesis, things that are there in a very embryonic stage sometimes in the book of Genesis that develop later on in the scriptures, things that are there that help us to understand God's original design, God's original plans. This morning I want to talk about faith and patience. Faith and patience. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, where the writer of Hebrews reflects on some stuff from the book of Genesis, and then we'll go back to Genesis. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, "We do not want you to become lazy." Say lazy. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I don't want you to become lazy." It's amazing how many Christians there are who are lazy. And obviously there was a possibility of that in the New Testament times. That's why the writer would have said that. "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who faith and patience inherit what has been promised." When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So we're talking about faith and patience. And why it is important is because there are many who will teach us that if you have faith, you should see immediate results, immediate responses. Things should change. Things should be different immediately. But yet the Bible here talks about a type of faith that requires perseverance, a persevering type of faith. And that's the type of faith that I think most of us many times we need. When the immediate thing doesn't happen, thank God sometimes you have faith and you immediately see things happen. The miracles happen immediately. The Red Sea parts immediately. But there are times when you need this type of persevering type of faith. And so the writer reflects on Abraham. And so I want to go back and talk a little bit about Abraham. But I put there just a little bit about the context for this idea of faith. And interestingly, a year ago, around this time, last Sunday of the year, I shared about living by faith. And here we are again, this time talking about it from a different perspective. But then I shared the context about faith, which requires the word of God. Faith is not just each one of us deciding what we want to have and just go for it. You know, it's not just walking by and seeing somebody with their nice BMW and decide, "I want one of those, and therefore I have faith." That's not faith. You know, faith has to be based upon God's word. We have the general logos word as well as the rhema word, which brings it alive to us. We have to receive that. And that's what Abraham got. Abraham got a word from God. God says, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a son. And through whom I'm going to bless you and cause your descendants to become like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the sea." It goes on to say in Hebrews 6 and verse 18, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged." And so faith is also based upon some of the attributes of God. One is that it's impossible for God to lie. So if God says something, then that settles it. He doesn't say X and mean A. Whatever he says, that's what he means. And so it's impossible for God to lie. So that's why Abraham could have faith, because that's part of the attributes of God. He's a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of goodness, and a God who doesn't lie. And then the third thing for Abraham was that faith had to be based upon the character of God and God's ability. What is God's ability like? And Abraham went on to say that with God all things are possible. When God told him to sacrifice Isaac, he reasoned that God had the ability to raise him from the dead. And so it's based also upon, therefore, God's abilities. So if God says it, that means he can do it. Therefore, we can have faith. Which is so much different from us as people. Because many times we say things, but we have to depend upon circumstances, depend upon people and others to be able to fulfill what we have promised. But with God, because he's sovereign, because he's almighty, because he's ever-present, then if he says something, then you can believe him, and he has the ability to bring it to pass, therefore you can have faith. And so that's a context for faith. That's a context for believing God. That's a context in which Abraham found himself when God spoke to him. So let's turn now back to Genesis. And because we look at the entire book of Genesis, we look at several examples in Genesis to just confirm this idea of faith and patience. Genesis chapter 11. That's where we're going to pick up. Genesis 11, verse 31. It says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they had come to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Why did I start there? Because we need to realize why Abraham ended up in Haran. Somewhere along the line, Terah felt inclined to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. The Bible doesn't tell us why. He just felt the need to leave, and he left with his son and with Lot and others and set out to go to Canaan, which we all know later on became the land of promise. But somewhere along the line, he stopped in Haran and settled there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So the family had settled in Haran. And now God came to Abraham and says, that's not where you're supposed to settle. Leave that country. Leave your household. Leave your friends. Leave the people there. And I'm going to show you a land, the same land that his father set out to go to initially. I suspect somehow, deep within his father, he might not have realized it, but God was leading them to actually to go to Canaan, but he stopped short. And so God came and said to Abraham, it's time to move. To leave your people, to leave the surroundings of safety. To leave the familia. It's a good word for the end of the year. As we move into a new year, it's time to move on to go towards the promises of God. It's time to leave the place of safety, the place of comfort, the place where everything seems familiar and predictable. If there's something about God that I've come to appreciate, is that he's somewhat unpredictable. And he wants us to take that journey with him where we can't just predict what's going to happen next. And so he called Abram away from this life of comfort, this life of security, this life of predictability, this routine, monotonous life. And says, come, I'm going to show you somewhere. I'm going to lead you to a land. And God gave him a promise. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And we all know Abraham didn't have any children at the time. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a nation. So there is a word that God spoke to him. I'm going to make you into a nation. How is that going to happen? If I'm going to become a nation out of me, then I have to have a child at some point in time. And the Bible says that when the Lord led Abraham, or Abraham, he was 75 years old. So they've been living in there in Haran for a while. Now he's 75, and now's the time the Lord is telling them to take this journey of faith. It tells me that you're never too old to go on this journey of faith with the Lord. The Lord is not like, well, now, Abraham, you're like 75. Why don't you just settle now? You know, we like to tell young people, well, young people, you go out there and explore the world. But when you reach 75, I mean, it's time to settle. Well, with the Lord, there's no settling. So God said to Abraham, it's time to get up. It's time to leave. It's time to move from where you're at onto a place I'm going to show you, onto this promised land. And the Bible says there that Abraham just left. Verse 4, he just packed up and left, as the Lord told him, and journeyed from the place of security to find this land that God was going to show him. The Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham left journeying looking for a city whose builder and maker was the Lord. And so even though God called him, said, I'm going to show you a land, Abraham had something more in his own heart. He wanted to experience God. He wanted to be with God. He wanted to go to that place where God was at the foundation of everything. He was tired of just living in the routine, tired of living by man-made circumstances. He wanted to experience more of God, and that's why he went on that journey. That's why he responded so quickly. God has called each of us, each one of us, to this journey of faith, to this life of faith that is undergirded with patience. And this journey of faith, this faith and patience, we see it in the lives of others, as I said, in the book of Genesis. We see it with Isaac. He also had a call and a promise from God, but it took time for this thing to be fulfilled. We see it in the life of Joseph. Joseph had two dreams. But it was years down the line before the dreams were fulfilled. And so, it's important for you and for me to realize that there are some things that God might call us to, but it's down the line before we see these things being fulfilled. And we have to, with patience, walk this life of faith, believe God until the promise is fulfilled. We have told you here before, my wife and I, about our years of infertility, where we got many, many prophetic words that God is going to give you children. God is going to bless you with children. We had a friend of ours that even gave us a vision. He saw us with a girl and a boy. And it reached a point in time, that, at least for me, where it's like, Lord, I don't need another word. I just need to see this thing fulfilled. I don't need for somebody to come and tell me the same thing again. But friends, there are some things that take patience and requires us to remain faithful to the Lord, to keep pressing on, keep believing Him until it comes to pass. Jacob had a similar thing to Isaac and Abraham. He received a promise from God when he was running away from Esau. He got that vision. And then later on, God called him back to Bethel and gave him a promise. But after we've got that word, I put here in the notes, usually some challenges to this life of faith. It's never usually just simple and easy. You go to a conference and somebody gives you a nice prophetic word, or you go somewhere, it doesn't mean it's going to come to pass tomorrow. It doesn't mean you just come home and just expect that, well, someone's going to knock on my door and all of my needs are going to be fulfilled. It doesn't work most of the times like that. It requires some amount of patience. How many of you know how long Abraham had to wait for that child of promise? How many years? How many of you know? But that doesn't mean they're looking in the notes. They're just looking straight at me. They're not paying attention to the notes. But I gave you the answer there in the notes. It's 25 years. How many of you know that 25 years is a long time? That's a long time to wait on a promise from God. But the writer of Hebrews says that through faith and patience, Abraham inherited the promise. So I want to encourage us this morning, don't become discouraged. Don't become frustrated, but to patiently wait on God, patiently believe God. And so one of the challenges to this life of faith is it's just time itself. And it becomes more challenging for us in this 21st century because we like everything quick. You know, you have the curbside ordering now. You don't want to, you know, you order your food ahead so they can come out to you in your car and just pick it up at curbside. Because we want it now. And we want it not just now, but we want it when we get it, it must be hot and ready. And if you go to McDonald's and there are like one or two cars in front of you, you get frustrated because you want this thing now. And it becomes even more so with technology and internet. You can do a lot of things now. And then you come to God and God says, wait. God says, yeah, it's going to take a while. And you're like, no, hurry up and get this thing done now. But the fact is God says, He wants to build something inside of us through this time of waiting and believing Him for the promise. And Abraham, as we all know the story, after a while, there in Genesis 16, Sarah said to him, well, Abraham, perhaps it is through Hagar that the word of the Lord is going to be fulfilled. She was trying to help out the Lord to fulfill His word. Sometimes we do that. We get impatient. We figure, well, Lord, maybe You meant that I should pull some strings and I should do this and I should do that to get this promise fulfilled. And as a result of what Abraham did then with Hagar, we end up with Ishmael. And ever since then, they have had problems in the Middle East. So sometimes when we try our human ways of fulfilling God's word, we create a mess. We make things worse. Just wait on the Lord. If the Lord gives you a promise that, you know, let's talk about marriage. Wait on the Lord. If you run around and try and do it yourself, you're going to end up with a mess and it's going to be a heartache of a life. You don't want that. Just wait on the Lord. Whatever promise might be, just wait on the Lord. Patiently wait on the Lord. Sometimes the challenge to this life of faith are some internal issues that we have. And for Abraham, you could see impatience after a while. Sometimes it's fear. Abraham had a fear of Abimelech. And so he went and he told lies. Same thing with Isaac. Isaac had a fear of Abimelech, went and said lies. But Isaac was worse than Abraham because at least Abraham could truly say Sarah was his half-sister. But with Isaac, Rebekah was not his sister at all. But he said lies because of a fear rather than believing that God is going to preserve you and make a nation out of you. No, you're fearful of people and of other things. And so God has to work these things out of us and show us that there's some issues in your life that needs to be dealt with before you can embrace the promises of God. With Joseph, we can see it was all a matter of pride. Can you imagine this young guy who's boasting with his coat of many colors? If God was to fulfill those words within a year or two, can you imagine how proud and arrogant this young man would have been? And so with the time and with different things, God was able to work some things into Joseph so he could become a responsible person for the fulfillment of the word. Sometimes the challenges to our faith might be people. Again, the examples are there in Genesis. You see it with Joseph. He told his brothers his dreams, and his brothers became those who challenged him about his faith. His brothers were the very same ones who put him in the pit and sold him into slavery, and then said, let us see what's going to become of his dreams now. So you have to be careful sometimes who you even share the word with, because they might become the ones who discourage you. They might become the ones who say, well, I can't see what's going to happen. They might be the ones who become even jealous of what God has said to you and therefore try to become a thorn in your flesh. People. For Abraham again, the servants for Abimelech. Every time, one of the times when he built a well, they came and took away the well from him. So the Bible says that after a while, Abraham even complained. Genesis 21 and verse 25, it says, then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized from him. God says, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham dug his well, and people come and take the well away from him. People. The same thing happened to Isaac. But rather than getting bitter with people, Isaac moved on, and God has blessed him everywhere he went. Sometimes it's just the circumstances and the trials of life that test us. Joseph ended up in a pit. Joseph ended up in slavery. And I can imagine the thoughts that will come to his mind. Well, how is this word going to be fulfilled since now I'm a slave? How is this word going to be fulfilled because now I'm in prison? Just some circumstances that make it seem totally impossible for God to come through. Joseph could say, man, ever since I got that word, life has just become so much more challenging. If I didn't have those dreams, I wouldn't have even ended up in the pit. Ever since I got the word and started to share it, things have become difficult. Circumstances. Well, how many of you know that God is not limited by circumstances? That despite our circumstances, if God said it, he will bring it to pass. So don't fear. Don't look at your circumstances to figure out whether or not this word is going to come to pass. Look to the Lord. Because as with Joseph, it was a matter of time, a quick time that God brought that word to pass. And God seems to work like that sometimes. You're waiting for years, and then quickly things come to pass. But you have to be faithful through those times of testing. Faithful through those negative circumstances. Faithful through those trials. Sometimes the challenges are some of the own sinful desires we have and the temptations that come because of those sinful desires. Now for Joseph, again, you all know the story. Potiphar's wife became that source of temptation. But Joseph said there in the scriptures, how can I do this thing and sin against God? Here's a young man who didn't have all of the benefits that you and I have. He didn't have church, he didn't have a Bible to read, he didn't have any internet to listen to stuff, no television, no radio. Didn't even have his family there. He was in a foreign country. But yet still this young man had a relationship with God, which said to him, I cannot sin against God. Yes, I'm a slave, but I'm not going to sin against God. And he's not doing it because he's thinking, well, this word is going to come to pass if I remain faithful. He doesn't know how the word is going to come to pass, but he has something inside of him that says, my relationship with God is the only thing I can rely on. And I'm not going to jeopardize that relationship with the Lord because of a moment of pleasure. And then one of the challenges that comes is what I call here a partial fulfillment. There's a somehow the way in which the Lord works, and you start to see the world become fulfilled and then it just stops. You know, like with Abraham, he has his son. Eventually, Isaac comes after 25 years of waiting. And then after a few years, the Lord says to him, well, take your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him to me. I mean, if Abraham had come to many of us for counsel, would have said to him, Abraham, that's the devil, you better rebuke that, because there's no way God would have told you to wait for 25 years and now come and tell you to sacrifice that son. You know, they use Abraham as an example in philosophy. when they're looking at different philosophical theories. And Kierkegaard, who was an existentialist philosopher, says that there comes a point in our lives where we have to go beyond the norms of society, what society believes is right or wrong, and we have to take what he calls a leap of faith and have a relationship with God, with the divine, where we decide for ourselves, out of a relationship with God, what God requires of us, what is right or what is wrong. And they use Abraham as that example with going to sacrifice Isaac. And then you have philosophers who function by their natural way of thinking that look at that example of Kierkegaard and like, that doesn't even make any sense. One of these feminist philosophers says, why didn't Abraham consult with Sarah before going to sacrifice his son? And so she thinks that that is wrong because he should have consulted with Sarah. But there are some things in this life of faith where God calls you and God speaks to you and you are the one who has to obey God. And many times people try and get out of this by coming to somebody else for counsel. They come to the pastor for counsel. Want the pastor to tell them something different from what God has already told them. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. If you believe this is what God is saying, no, come and ask me. I'm not God. I don't know. You are calling your life of faith, and I'm calling my life of faith. When we were moving to come here to Missouri, we had to hear from God for ourselves. Because if you talk to one set of people, they say, well, you know, it's the Midwest, and they're very prejudiced down there. I'm just telling you what they told us. And then I said to say, like, well, you know, it's far from anybody you know. Why would you want to go that far? And so we had to hear from God for ourselves. It can't function just by natural ways of thinking when it comes to some of the things that God says to us. Not that God is calling us to throw away logic, but there comes a point when if he speaks, you follow what he says. And so for Abraham, there was a partial fulfillment because God still wanted to see what was inside of Abraham. And the same thing will occur to you and to me, that God will put us in some circumstances to try and show us what's inside of us. Is obedience to God more important than holding on to some promise that God has given unto us? Will you release the promise back to the Lord? Will you give it back to him? That's basically what God was saying to Abraham. Will you give your son back to me? Will you give this thing back to me? Whatever it is. Sometimes the challenge to this life of faith is what I put here, I call a lack of passion. We reach this place where you just settle. And you're tired of keep on believing the Lord, so you just can't be bothered anymore. And you become weary. You become distracted by things around you. But I like how the Apostle Paul functioned. Paul says, you know what? I'm going to forget all those things which are behind. I'm going to press on to know the Lord. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep pressing on. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11 said it this way. Hebrews 11:13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they were looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. And what the writer is saying is that all of these saints in Hebrews 11, they were pressing on. They wanted more of God. They wanted to be where God is. They wanted to walk with God. They wanted to experience more of God. And so they didn't settle. One of the men that I always reflect on is Moses. And I was sharing this recently with some folks. I mean, Moses experienced so much of God. You know, he saw the burning bush. For most of us, if we saw that alone, that would be like all we need to see for the rest of our lives. And we go on telling that story forever and ever. I saw this burning bush. That becomes our place where we settle. But he saw the burning bush. He saw God said, you know, appear there. He saw his staff eat up the staff of his enemies. He saw the 10 plagues. He saw the Red Sea part. He saw all of these miracles and he didn't settle. On the mountain, he cries out to God and says, Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, show me your glory. And I'm like, Moses, haven't you seen enough already? And I'm saying, saints, we can't settle. Our God is an infinite God. And so there's no way we're going to reach a point where we can say, Lord, I know enough. I've experienced enough now. We have to keep on pressing on. Keep on saying, Lord, show me your glory. Teach me your ways. And so all of these saints had this attitude about them. They were looking for this heavenly city. And they were not prepared to settle here on earth and to become comfortable. We are called to this journey of faith, this life of faith. And so I'm encouraging us in the new year to if you're feeling too comfortable, stir yourself up and start to seek the Lord again. It's time to press on in this journey of faith. There's so much more to experience in Almighty God. Amen. So friends, these challenges are just a part of the process that God uses to work in us, to prepare us for the fulfillment of his promises. Just for a few more minutes, let's talk about the promise fulfilled. Genesis 21. Genesis 21 verse 1 says, Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So the promise, because of Abraham patiently waiting on God, was fulfilled. And when the promise is fulfilled, it brings you to a new place of faith. That's why Abraham could now take the test that God gave him in terms of offering Isaac as a sacrifice. He had waited 25 years and he had seen God fulfill that promise, and now he was at a different place of faith from he was when he was 75. Now he had basically proven God. Now he knows for sure that what God says he will do. And therefore in Hebrews it says that when God said to sacrifice Isaac, he reasoned to himself, well, God has been faithful for 25 years. If he says sacrifice this boy, somehow God is going to raise him from the dead. It brought him to a new place of faith. It's a friend, if we don't have some of these times of waiting and believing God, we basically become like a spoiled child. The moment you ask and pray, things happen. No, God is going to take us to a journey. And there's some things he's going to use to build character into us and to help us to move to that new place of faith, because we are called to walk from faith to faith. And if we are faithful in the challenges, we end up growing spiritually. We end up with Christian character, with godly character. And you can see the difference in Joseph when he saw his brothers after so many years of going through hardships. You'd have thought that he'd be the first one to say, throw these guys in prison, they're so wicked. But instead, he had a different perspective on things. And so the writer of Genesis says, in Genesis 45 and verse 8. Genesis 45, I'm going to start at verse 4. It says, Then Joseph said to his brothers, Come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed. And do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You know, something happened to Joseph over the years, that when the promise was fulfilled, he looked back at his circumstances through a different set of eyes, different set of lens. He reinterpreted his experiences in the light of what God had done. He wasn't like, you guys are so wicked, I should just make you spend a year or two in prison just to learn. He was like, guys, don't become distressed. Don't become distressed. God was the one who sent me ahead to prepare for you, to help you in this time of need. You see, we have a lot of people in our society today who are blaming all sort of situations for where they are at, rather than able to see God at work through the negative circumstances. Why am I like this? Where my parents spanked me too much? And all of us are saying they didn't give you enough spanking. Why am I like this? Well, my father wasn't at home. And they're always trying to blame somebody else, rather than, you know, if you come to a relationship with God, God will help you to look at your circumstances from a different perspective. And so Joseph was able to say to his brothers, guys, don't be distressed. Don't worry. God used those negative circumstances to fulfill his purposes. It's a part of how he fulfilled his promise into my life. Think about it. If he didn't end up in Egypt, he wouldn't be able to end up in that position of authority where God wanted him to be. Verse 6 of Genesis 45. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But verse 7, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Wow. What a way to reframe the circumstances. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household and ruler of all Egypt. And so when a promise is fulfilled, my friends, we realize that God used some of these negative circumstances to help us to grow in godly character. We realize that some of these negative circumstances God was using to get us in the right place at the right time. And so now we're no longer bitter at people and bitter at circumstances, but rather we can rejoice because we realize that though you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Isn't it tough if you went to a counselor in your tears and the counselor's like, hon, you perhaps need to see this as God working some things out for good? No, the counselor's going to come and empathize with you. Yes, it's all right for you to feel bad and to cry, and those people are so wicked and so bad. And so that's the reason why we need to always go to the Lord. So the Lord can give us fresh lens to look at things and our circumstances. Look at your past and be able to rejoice in your past. You might have grown up in a foster care system, but you can rejoice because all of that you have learned some stuff about people and about life. Wow. And so out of these circumstances, we end up with a better knowledge of God and his ways. Job said at the end of his time, I'm seeing him differently. Before I just knew him by the hearing of the ear, but now I have a greater revelation. I understand this God differently. That's what's supposed to happen to you and to me. As we grow in the Lord, we're supposed to be growing in our understanding of the Lord. We're supposed to be able to increase in what I put here, I call godly wisdom. So when a younger person comes to us and they're frustrated, you can sit them down and say, let me tell you a story. Can you imagine Joseph being able to tell his sons a story? Say, son, don't get frustrated. You think life is bad? Let me explain to you what bad is. I didn't end up here in this position next to Pharaoh overnight. How many know that we need more people like that in the kingdom to be the counselors? Some people have had some experience who understand God and know God. And if we don't go through these difficulties, if we don't learn this patience and faith together, we will never end up in that place. If Joyce would come on back. Just a couple more things. You see, when you have gone through those things, that faith and patience, it brings us to a place where we can actually leave a godly legacy. When people have seen you go through the suffering and seen you go through the hard times and you remain faithful to God and God comes through, then you have a godly legacy. Then the people look on, your kids and grandchildren, your nieces and nephews and others will look on and say, I want to be like that. If everything was nice and easy, we're not leaving anything for others to learn from. Nobody's going to admire us because life came easy for you. You're born with what they call it, a silver spoon or a gold spoon in your mouth. You don't know hardships. But when you've been through the hardships, you can say, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. Here's a man who ended up in prison and he was innocent. Completely innocent. I said, Frank, you can use Joseph now to those who are in prison and say they're innocent. I said, let me tell you a story about a young man who ended up in prison who was innocent. And because he was faithful to God, God rewarded him down the road. Thank God for those of the experience who have been faithful to God. This faith and patience is crucial for us. My wife and I, we can empathize with people who come and have difficulty bearing children. Part of the challenge is when you have difficulty bearing children and you hear people just having abortions left, right, and center. And you're like, oh God, this is not fair. But you have to keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eyes on the Lord. So you can develop a legacy. But friends, more than all of that, because you have tasted and have seen of the Lord, you always want more. You never reach a stage in this walk, this journey with God, where you're like, I'm there, I've made it, I can sit back and relax. You always want more. Because our God is so good, He's so great, He's so awesome. Let us stand. And so I don't know what promise you have from the Lord. I don't know what you're going through. But this morning I want to encourage us to patiently wait on the Lord. To allow the Lord to work in us, the character that He wants to work in us. To allow the Lord to show us the things in us that He wants to remove so that we can be more fruitful in His hands. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Anybody in this house is at a place this morning where you're saying, Lord, I'm recommitting myself to patiently wait on you. Anybody, let me see your hands. Several hands. Anybody in this house who you might have backslidden and you're saying, Joe Campbell, this morning I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves? I'm going to ask us to take the hand of the person or persons beside you. And I'm going to ask us to pray one for another that we would remain faithful to the Lord in the midst of this journey that we are on. Pray that God would work perseverance and patience inside of us. pray that we would not become weary of well-doing, but to realize that in due time we'll reap if we faint not. Let's just pray one for another, that as we enter into the new year, we might enter into the new year with this new resolve that we're going to patiently follow the Lord and wait upon Him for His fulfillment of His promises.